Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, April 23rd, 2023, Romans.
All right, a couple of announcements before we get started. First of all, two birthdays. Today is Amanda's birthday, and Amanda told Deacon Dave, don't put my name up there, because I don't want everybody looking at me. I don't want any of you looking at Amanda. That goes for all of you, but not for me. They call it face to face for a reason, you know. Happy birthday, Amanda. And Randy's birthday is this week. He wants all of you to look at him, especially when he's leading singing. Look at him. So happy birthday to Amanda and Randy. And another announcement, we have out our Vacation Bible School flyers. They're out in the hall. Take as many as you want and give it to whoever you would like. Vacation Bible School will be June 5th to the 9th. And I appreciate your prayers that God would open the eyes of people all over Southern Nevada to see that Upland Bible Church is having Vacation Bible School, and that God would draw by His hand of grace all the children and all the adults that are supposed to be here. Pray for the evangelism team that the grace gospel is given clearly and accurately, and as a result of this, that many people will be brought into glory with Jesus Christ. So flyers are out there. You're welcome to as many as you like. If you take them all, fine. We'll print some more. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you have given to us in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible-teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your Word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is Hal Lindsey. Christians in an anti-Christian world. A few years ago, we would often hear that the United States had entered a post-Christian era. Looking back, it's amazing how fast post-Christian turned into anti-Christian. The Facebook pages of certain groups show an amazing number of anti-Christian memes. And the vitriol is stunning. They seethe with hatred for all things Christian. They hate churches. They hate the individual followers of Jesus Christ. And they hate every hint that this society once held Jesus and the Bible in high esteem. You wonder who they are arguing with. The commenters on such pages all agree with one another. It's as if they want to comfort, the comfort of knowing that there are people out there who hate God as much as they do. Sadly, outrage against the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God and His followers is growing in size and in intensity. You may have friends or family members who have been infected. The natural human fleshly thing, we would call it the sin nature thing, would be to respond in kind. That means answering hate with hate. But that's not what Jesus Christ has commanded us to do. Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. The whole world, all mankind. And therefore, we must not respond by hate. We must not respond by hiding. We should not hide our eyes, pretending that this is just another societal phase. And that all things continue as they have from the beginning. Neither should we hide by retreating into our homes, never venturing beyond our safe neighborhoods, and by hunkering down in churches that refuse to engage the world. In any case, hiding will not long remain an option for you. When a tornado is ripping apart your home, hiding your eyes does not make you safer. There comes a point when you can't pretend that everything is normal. Everything is not normal. If a church teaches the Word of God, Satan's world system, we know that, that's the cosmos, Satan's cosmic system, will attack that local church. Your neighborhood may seem quiet on the surface, but it is almost certainly being invaded by drugs, pornography, and hate. Hiding is fear-based, and our response must be faith-based. Understand what's going on, but don't forget that the most important part of any situation is that the God who created all things, and who is that? Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. He is still in charge. We have a phrase for that. Jesus Christ controls history. The Lord Jesus Christ controls history. So therefore, do what He says. In Matthew 5:44, Jesus gave us explicit instructions. Love your enemies. We studied this Thursday night. In our Thursday night class in 1 John, we studied this under the principle of prayer. He says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Well, this was our 1 John class on Thursday. Now, that's the mandate. That's the mandate Jesus Christ has given us. But I'll be real honest with you. Most Christians, it's impossible for them to fulfill that mandate. They won't do it because they can't. They can't because they have no virtue love brought to completion in their heart. They can't because they have not lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. They can't because they have not grown up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They can't because they don't have personal love for God the Father, and that's the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all. For all. Those who hate you. Those who persecute you. The only way you can love them with virtue love, impersonal love for all, is that you have to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and live the unique spiritual life. And very, very, very few believers fall into that category today. But there's no excuse for you not falling into that category. Living the spiritual life, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That is the ultimate objective. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life. In the short time while we are here, that's the ultimate objective for each one of you. Romans chapter 5. Let's start at verse 18, Romans 5:18, corrected translation. So then, as through one transgression, Adam's original sin, there resulted condemnation to all mankind, so also through one act of righteousness, the salvation work of Christ on the cross, all of our sins poured out on Christ and judged in Him once and for all, there resulted justification that brings eternal life to all mankind. Verse 19. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, parakoe, the one man Adam, the hoi polloi, the many, the entire human race, were caused to be made sinners, so also, through the obedience of the one, hupakoe, of the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the hoi polloi, the many, those who believe in Christ, will be caused to be made righteous. Condemnation precedes justification. Condemnation means now the grace of God can provide justification because now mankind is totally undeserving. Condemnation means now we are qualified for grace. We're qualified for Operation Grace, the grace of God. We are absolutely nothing. Spiritually dead, totally depraved, and God is everything. Now God can provide salvation, justification for us, and it is grace all the way. The first Adam brought condemnation to the hoi polloi, the many, the whole human race, through disobedience, parakoe. While the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, brings salvation, justification, by his obedience, hupakoe, to the incarnation plan of the Father, Operation Grace, the cross. By one man's disobedience, the entire human race becomes sinful. By one man's obedience, the Lord Jesus Christ, the entire human race has the potential for justification. At physical birth, we are born condemned. At spiritual birth, we are born justified. With condemnation, now man is undeserving. And now God's plan of grace can go into action. Operation Grace, the cross. The first Adam was disobedient to divine authority, resulting in human condemnation. The last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, through obedience to the Father's authority, humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Philippians 2, verse 8. Now that brings us to Romans 5, verse 20. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 starts out, we always start with the thundering diction of the King James. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. We have the postpositive conjunction de plus the nominative singular of namas plus the aorist middle indicative of par ace erkomai. Great word. Very rare word. Par ace erkomai. Plus the nominative singular paroptima with a definite article. Plus hina. Plus the subjunctive of the verb pleonazo. Postpositive conjunction de. By the way, that's very good. We may have to change your name to Golden Pipes. You know that, don't you? Everybody watch Golden Pipes when he's leading singing. You do look a little dark here, though. Death. Now, sometimes, in fact, many times, it's a conjunction of contrast, but not here. Here it is a transitional conjunction. It may be translated and, moreover, then, or now. We're going to translate it now. And then we have namas. N-O-M-O-S, namas. Now, namas generally means law. Specifically here, it refers to the Mosaic law. And namas has no definite article. When the definite article is left out, that emphasizes the quality of the term, the quality of the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law, there's nothing wrong with the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law came from God. And therefore, the Mosaic law is perfect. But the Mosaic law, as any other part of the Word of God, can be distorted, corrupted. It is self-righteousness and legalism that has distorted the Mosaic law into a false gospel of salvation by works. But there's nothing wrong with the Mosaic law in and of itself. And then we have par ace erkomai. This is a 25-center. Didn't know if I was going to get it on there. P-A-R-E-I-S-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. Par ace erkomai. This is a very, very rare Greek verb. It's not found in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. Par eis erchomai is only used two times in the New Testament scriptures, and both times it's used by the Apostle Paul. Now it can be used in a positive way or a negative way, and Paul uses it both ways. He uses it in a positive way in our verse, Romans 5:20. He uses it in a negative way in Galatians 2:4. I want you to turn over for a moment to Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. Galatians chapter 2. Now let's go ahead and start in Galatians 2 verse 1. Galatians chapter 2 verse 1. 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem. This time with Barnabas. I took Titus, pastor teacher Titus, along also. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, the grace gospel. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders, for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Gentile. And there was a lot of legalism among the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem that said you had to be circumcised to be saved. So here is the Gentile Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised. Even he was not compelled to be circumcised, even though he's a Gentile. Now, verse 4. This matter arose because some false brethren had par eis erchomide our ranks. And notice, it's translated infiltrated. So this is the negative use of par eis erchomai. They infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. All right, that's the negative use. Infiltrate. So Romans 5, par eis erchomai is used only two times. In our verse, it's used in a positive way for the function of the perfect Mosaic law. Galatians 2:4, it's used in a negative way. And so let's get a couple of points. One, par eis erchomai literally means, when it's in a bad sense, it means to infiltrate, to slip in. Those slimy, legalistic people that slip in. Means to slip in or to infiltrate. In the good sense, it means to come in as a side issue. To come in as a side issue. Two, par eis erchomai was a verb used in Greek drama. Was a verb used in Greek drama. Three, it meant to enter the stage in the role of a minor actor. It meant to enter the stage in the role of a minor actor. To play a minor part. So this comes out of Greek drama. Enter the stage, the role of a minor actor playing a minor part. Four. The Mosaic Law is from God, and therefore the Mosaic Law is perfect. But it is a minor actor playing a minor role in our life. The Mosaic Law is from God, and the Mosaic Law is perfect. But it is a minor actor playing a minor role in life. We have the aorist tense, which is the consonantive aorist. The action is viewed as a whole and is simply stated as a fact without reference to the manner of the action. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form, but active in meaning. The indicative is declarative, presenting the Mosaic Law, entering the stage of the plan of God as a minor actor, as a fact. It's certainty. It is a reality. And then, now we have the purpose of the Mosaic Law. The purpose of the Mosaic Law coming in as a minor actor to play a minor role in the plan of God. And that purpose is introduced by hina plus the subjunctive. Hina plus the subjunctive. H-I-N-A. That introduces the purpose clause. Hina plus the subjunctive of the verb pleonazo. That's P-L-E-O-N-A-Z, long O, pleonazo. All right, a couple things on pleonazo. It can be used as a transitive verb or an intransitive verb. Transitive verb, it all has an object. Intransitive verb, it does not. You know that. You all got A students in English. Got that down. As a transitive verb, pleonazo means to bring forth in abundance. To bring forth in abundance or to cause to increase. That's as a transitive verb. But we don't have it used that way. As an intransitive verb, which is how it's used in our verse, it means to become more, to grow, to increase, to multiply. So we have it in the intransitive use, to become more, to grow, to increase, to multiply. Aorist tense, once again, is a consonantive aorist, viewing the increase of Adam's original sin in its entirety. The active voice, Adam's original sin, performs the action of increasing, multiplying. The subjunctive mood goes along with hina to introduce this purpose clause. So, and then we have the nominative singular paroptima with the definite article. And we've had this now several times. You're pretty familiar with this. Paroptima. P-A-R-A-P-T, long O-M-A. Paroptima. And this is a often translated transgression, it refers to sin. It refers here to Adam's original sin. And it functions as the subject of the verb pleonazo, to increase or to multiply. So the corrected translation so far sounds like this. Now the law, the Mosaic Law, came in as a minor actor to play a minor role, in order that the transgression, Adam's original sin, might increase. See, that's a great in the Greek. Now the law, the Mosaic Law, came in as a minor actor to play a minor role in order that the transgression, Adam's original sin, might increase. All right. A couple of things then. One, the transgression of Adam's original sin, AOS, is imputed to the human race at physical birth, resulting in spiritual death and condemnation. So the transgression of Adam, Adam's original sin, is imputed to the human race at physical birth, resulting in spiritual death and condemnation. Two, as a result of spiritual death, Adam's original sin imputed to the genetically formed sin nature is increased by our personal sins. As a result of spiritual death, Adam's original sin imputed to the genetically formed old sin nature is increased by our personal sins. And they are multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. And as human history goes on, these personal sins multiply more and more and greater and greater. And all of that multiplication of personal sins were gathered up by God the Father, poured out on Christ on the cross, and judged in Him once and for all. Three, these personal sins are the result of our spiritual death. The result of our spiritual death. Not the means of our spiritual death, the result of our spiritual death. The means of our spiritual death is the imputation of Adam's original sin to our genetically formed sin nature at physical birth. That's the means. But the result of spiritual death, we have the increase of our personal sins. So these personal sins are the result of our spiritual death, but not the means of our spiritual death. Four, our personal sins are not imputed to us. They're not imputed to us. Rather, they were all reserved with all the world's personal sins and were poured out on Christ on the cross and judged in Him. So our personal sins are not imputed to us. Rather, they were all reserved, saved up, and the Father poured them out on His Son. All the world's sins were imputed to Christ on the cross and judged in Him. Five. Therefore, the imputation and judgment of our personal sins on the cross is the basis for our eternal salvation and justification. Therefore, the imputation and judgment of our personal sins on the cross is the basis for our eternal salvation and justification. Six, the Mosaic Law enters history as a minor actor. A minor actor. To distinguish between Adam's original sin as the basis for our condemnation and all of our personal sins imputed to Christ on the cross as the basis of our salvation. So the Mosaic Law enters history as a minor actor, perfect from God, a minor actor to distinguish between Adam's original sin as a basis for our condemnation and all of our personal sins imputed to Christ on the cross as the basis of our salvation. Seven, the imputation of Adam's original sin to us at physical birth condemns. The imputation of Adam's original sin to us at physical birth condemns, but the imputation of the increase of all of our personal sins to Christ on the cross provides salvation and resultant justification. The imputation of Adam's original sin to us at physical birth condemns, but the imputation of the increase of all of our personal sins to Christ on the cross provides salvation and resultant justification. So the corrected translation says, now the law, the Mosaic law, came in as a minor actor to play a minor role in order that the transgression, Adam's original sin, might increase. Now the law came in as a minor actor to play a minor role in order that the transgression might increase. All right? One. There's nothing wrong with the Mosaic law. It's great. The Mosaic law came from God. It's perfect. There's nothing wrong with the Mosaic law. So, minor actor does not mean that the Mosaic law is no good or it's flawed in some way. So minor actor does not mean that the Mosaic law is no good or is flawed in some way. Three, minor actor does not mean that we should reject the Mosaic law. It does not mean that we should reject the Mosaic law. Turn over to Romans 7, verse 7. We are in Romans 5. I've already completed Romans 6. I'm working on Romans 7, and it just keeps getting better and better. But previews of coming attractions. Romans 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Meganoita, it says in the Greek. In other words, that is translated, no way, Jose. No way, Jose. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin. It's in the singular, the sin nature, except through the law, the Mosaic law. For I would not have known about the lust patterns of the sin nature. The sin nature is made up of all these lust patterns. And Paul says, I would not have known about the lust patterns of the sin nature if the law had not said, you shall not lust. And that's the 10th commandment. That's Exodus 20, verse 17. That's Deuteronomy 5, 21. So in the Mosaic law and the commandments, Codex number 1, the 10th commandment is, thou shalt not lust. So the minor actor does not mean that we can reject the Mosaic law. Romans 7, 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Meganoita. No way, Jose. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin, in the singular, the sin nature, except through the law. For I would not have known about the lust patterns of the sin nature if the law had not said, thou shalt not lust, the 10th commandment. 4. If it were not for the Mosaic law, Paul would not have understood the sin nature with its lust patterns. That's what he's saying. If it were not for the Mosaic law, Paul would not have understood the sin nature with its lust patterns. We all have a sin nature. And That sin nature is made up of all kinds of lust patterns. And when you make the bad decision, the sin nature is constantly sending temptation up to your volition. The guardian of your soul is your volition. You got a free will. And the sin nature is constantly sending temptation up. And all you have to do, and I'm serious about pay attention, all you have to do is say no. No. Two-letter word. No. That's all you have to do is say no. The temptation come up. And you all have in your sin nature all these different lust patterns, and you have weaknesses for different ones. For some, it might be chemical addiction like drugs or alcohol. And so the temptation comes up to get drunk, be an alcoholic. And all you have to do is say no. That's all you have to do. You say yes. Maybe some of you, that isn't your weakness. Your weakness is not drugs or alcohol. Although in our nation today, that's all over the United States. And we have people dying every day. Young people dying every day from drugs. Fentanyl. Every day, they're dying. And many of these people are believers in Jesus Christ. They're not going to lose their salvation. But they haven't got the guts enough to say no. So they just continue on and on and on. And they go from warning discipline to intensive discipline to dying discipline. And they're out of here. And they're going to live with God forever. But in time, loser. And that breaks my heart. What a waste. So you have a free will. All you have to do is say no. But you say yes, temptation becomes sin. Now the sin nature takes control of your soul. And you see, Satan has an inside agent for his cosmic system. The inside agent is the sin nature. He uses that inside agent to get you in his cosmic system. And then he traps you in his cosmic system. And then he laughs at you. He laughs at you. Because you're such a stupid individual. And he laughs at you because he's destroying you. And how many times I have... Don't ever give the devil the satisfaction. Don't do it. Don't give him the satisfaction. He looks at you in his cosmic system. He has entrapped you. And he laughs at you. How did you get there? Well, his inside agent, the sin nature, sending up temptation, temptation, temptation. And you all have a sin nature. And they all have lust patterns. And you have different strengths and different weaknesses. It changes from one to another to another. But Paul says, I would not have known about the lust patterns of the sin nature if the law had not said, thou shalt not lust, the 10th commandment. 4. If it were not for the Mosaic law, Paul would not have understood the sin nature with its lust patterns. 5. So, while the Mosaic law is a minor actor on the stage of life, it is still holy, righteous, and good. And this will, come up in Romans chapter 7, verse 12. So while the Mosaic Law is the minor actor on the stage of life, it is still holy, righteous, and good. Romans 7, verse 12. So then, the law is holy, and the commandments are holy and righteous and good. Romans 7, 12. Well, I got to preaching there for a while. and time just flies by. So we'll stop here and come back for part two in a few.